Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
Shalom, Milan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, everything's going great. You know, we're starting now to really get into the swing of things in regards with Passover and Pesach and the spring cleaning and all the things that go with it. So it's a good time. It's a nice time.
Yes, that's
a busy time.
Almost here.
Yes, yes. Before we know it, we're going to be sitting at the first Seder.
I think that's one of the holidays, besides being one of the three regalim, you call it,
mm-hmm.
like three high holidays,
I think
it's the one with the most preparations.
Oh, sure. Look, you know, any other holiday, Rosh Hashanah, you know, okay, so you start cooking the day before, 2 days before. You know, you do your regular cleaning of your house anyway. If it comes Pesach, you're already starting to clean your house 2 weeks beforehand, and then you don't want people eating the bread upstairs.
Yeah.
And then you have to start your Pesach shopping, which is different than your regular shopping. And it just, so yes, you're right, Ilan. It's really so much more preparation going into Passover. It's amazing.
Okay, so let's start the discussion about Passover.
Yes, what I thought we would go in doing is what we're going to do is we're going to try and cover as much as we can in the next two, this week and next week, as much as we can in regards to Passover, some of the reasons why we do certain things in Passover, some insights, and hopefully we'll be able to cover most of the things.
Okay.
Now, obviously the festival of Passover, which is Pesach, is 8 days.
Yeah.
And is generally celebrated in the early spring from the 15th of Nisan through the 22nd.
Yeah.
And obviously it commemorates the freedom of the Israelites from the slavery in ancient Egypt. And by following, obviously, these rituals of Passover, as we're going to discuss, it gives us the ability to relive and experience the true freedom that our ancestors gained. Because, you know, we can just talk about it. Yeah, our ancestors got this, and they had this, and they got free, and they left Egypt. But by us doing the rituals of the Pesach, the 8 day, the Seder, we sort of relive that freedom that our ancestors had. And if you look, just for people that are unaware, the story of Passover, we'll try and make it into a synopsis in less than a minute. But after obviously many decades of the slavery to the Egyptians, which the main king was then Pharaoh,
yeah.
during which the time the Israelites were subject to back-breaking labor and unbearable horrors. In the beginning, he was very nice to them. He would give them all the materials. And after a while, he said, that's it. You guys are going to have to figure out how to make the bricks and how to make the cement and everything else. I ain't going to give you nothing. And God saw, obviously, the people distressed and sent Moses to Pharaoh, which is a very strong message. And he said, set forth my people so they may serve me. But obviously, what do you think Pharaoh said? He had a hardened heart. And he said, Moses, you're kidding me? Get out of here. I don't need to talk to you. The Jews are staying here, and that's going to be it. And obviously, God then gave them numerous plagues. He gave them 10 plagues.
Yeah.
And obviously, he left them, afflicting them, you know, with destroying everything that they had, from their livestock to their crops. And at the stroke of midnight, on the 15th day of Nisan, God visited with Egypt and with the last 10 plagues, killing all the firstborns. And obviously while doing so, God spared the children of Israel, passing over their homes. If they had put on the doorpost the blood to be able to show that these were the Jewish homes, and that he jumped over it. And then obviously the Israelites were then kicked out by their masters, by the Egyptians, telling them, leave, we don't want you here anymore. And they have to leave in such a hurry that the bread that they baked as provisions for the way did not have time to rise.
Yeah.
And they left Egypt, and 600,000 adult males and women and children left Egypt on their trek to be able to come to Mount Sinai as the birth of God's chosen people. Now, that in itself is a lesson that is phenomenal, that how they went through such slavery and how they still kept that same desire, that will to be able to serve God, that slavery that they had did not break them. they still all left together as one nation, one people, going to serve God. And, you know, from that story, you go and you look and you see is through the festival of Passover, there are so many things that we do that remind us or that make us relive that story that we had in Egypt. And one of the things that we see is we don't eat chametz, any unleavened bread, bread that has risen. Because when the Jews left Egypt, the only thing that they had was that bread that did not rise, which
the
we
dough,
call
yeah,
today...
The dough did not rise, yeah.
Correct. Which we call today matzah. So we don't eat chametz because obviously we do it in order to commemorate the unleavened bread that the Israelites, the Jews, ate when they left Egypt. And we don't, not only don't we eat chametz, we don't even retain in our possession any chametz. We don't keep in our possession any chametz. So the question is, what am I supposed to do? If I have a full house of chametz, you know, for example, chametz includes anything that contains a trace of wheat, for example, barley, rye, oats, you know, spelt. So, which includes so many things, bread, cake, cookies, cereals, pastas. So what am I supposed to do? Leave my... Very good. That's a good answer. But people that don't know, they get this whole confusion. What do? Get rid of my whole house. I don't have to do anything. I have to throw everything out and after Pesach, go and buy a new, whole new grocery shopping list of all my new things that I've thrown out. The sages were a little bit smarter and they said, you know what? What you're going to have to do is you don't have to get rid of everything. Like you said, we're going to sell our chametz. And when we sell our chametz, which what it means is that we fill out a form that a rabbi then goes and sells our chametz to a non-Jew, which is not obligated in the festivals of Passover. And he then acquires the rights of owning all of our chametz possessions. So, theoretically, if he would like to come and say, they'll knock on Mr. Ilan Ainey's door and say, Ilan, I hear that you have some great cakes and cookies over here. I'm coming to pick them up. You can't do anything about it. Obviously, because he's bought it. He's got all the rights to it. But when I sit down with him and I explain to him what the purpose of selling is, that it's symbolic that we now do not own this chametz. You are going to buy it from me. So, therefore, even if it's in my possession, I'm not going to be sinning. He understands that, and obviously he's not going to come to everyone's house. He's going to be the richest non-Jew in Windsor, you know, when he has all the Jews' homes in his possession. But, so that's one of the reasons how you can get out of even owning chametz in your house, but you don't own it, because the non-Jew it takes it and uses it.
Yeah.
And the day of Passover, the day of Pesach, which is going to be Monday night, so Monday morning we do a burning of the chametz ceremony on which we then take all of our bread that you know we've searched Sunday night. We search all of our house to be able to make sure that we don't have any chametz, where the kids are involved, and we go and we take the candle, and we take the feather, and we go and look and make sure that we don't have any chametz. Obviously, we're rarely not going to find chametz, because our house is spotlessly clean now, as everyone's been working for the last 2 weeks. But we go and search for the chametz, and any chametz that we might find there, we then burn. And when we burn it, what happens is it's not in our possession anymore. And therefore, we won't be, sinning every time we have the chametz in our possession. A lot of people have the custom that when you search for the chametz, we put 10 pieces of bread in a plastic bag, not really in a plastic bag because you're going to burn it, but in a newspaper or paper towel, because when we make the blessing on searching for the chametz, we want to make sure that we find chametz, because we probably won't, because the house is so spotlessly clean. We want to make sure that we find chametz, because otherwise we made a blessing in vain. We can't just say God's name in vain. So by us putting the 10 pieces, we definitely going to find some of that chametz. And what we do is we then go and burn it. So we have then got rid of all of our chametz. We are now chametz free, and we are ready now for Pesach. We are ready now to start bringing in this holiday of Passover to be able to relive our experience and our freedom of Egypt. And one of the things, obviously, that we eat the most, or that is so known about on Pesach, is the matzah, which is the flat, unleavened bread. And obviously, it's bread that is not chametz. It hasn't risen. It's flat, which is how the Jews, when they left Egypt, that's what they were eating. And that's what we eat for 8 days. That is our bread for the 8 days. And if you look a little bit deeper in the reason of why do we eat matzah, what is so important of eating matzah and we shouldn't eat the bread? Because if you look in spirituality, the Kabbalah brings down that bread has risen, has become big, and matzah is very flat.
Yeah.
Which that shows on a person's ego. An ego of a person continues to rise, continues to inflate, it's always big, it's always about me, it's everything that is good for me. That is chametz. We get rid of our chametz on Pesach, we get rid of our ego, and we have our self-nullification, we have bitul, we're flat, that people are part of our lives. You know, we invite people in for the Seder, we invite people in to our houses. Everyone is the same, on the same wavelength, everyone is equal as me.
That's interesting. I never heard about that one.
Right, and that's what matzah symbolizes. Matzah shows that we're flat, where we have this humility, we're not always about us, we don't have always that ego. And that is something that is the start of Pesach, you know, until the Monday night, until the Seder. And I'm hoping that next week we will then go through some parts of the Seder, you know, the Seder plate, why do we do certain things, and what are the reasons, and hopefully we can get to a lesson of what we can learn from Pesach, what Pesach can really mean to us, what we can really take to heart about Passover. So I think that will be like the first segment. This will be our first segment on Pesach, and hopefully next week we will continue and finalize the second segment of Pesach.
Okay.
Now we see, obviously we have a Seder, you know, the first night of Passover, which is Monday night. So there is a community Seder. I know there are two Seders on the night of Passover. The first Seder night, where we're going to have the Shaar HaTzedek is doing a Seder at the Shaar HaShamayim,
right,
for the whole community, April 18th at 8:30 p.m. We are going to have, obviously, the four cups of wine. We're going to have the choicest wine for the four cups that anyone wants. We will have grape juice. There will be a full traditional Pesach meal catered by Mazal. We are going to have handmade Shmura Masa, the masa that is made by hand from the beginning of the process, the water and the flour meeting, till it comes out of the oven is less than 18 minutes. We're going to have the Haggadah translated and transliterated. There's going to be traditional songs. So we do need our reservations by April 11th. If you reserve by April 11th, it is $36 an adult and $18 a child and student. And if you reserve after April 11th, it is $40 an adult and $20 a child and student. And obviously your check is your reservation. You can call the Shaar's office, Shaar HaShamayim, 519-256-3123, to reserve. So hopefully spaces are really filling up. So if you would like to join us, please call an RSVP.
Now there is the second Seder at the congregation Beth El.
Correct.
And that's the time and place, I think, to explain to our listeners why do we have two Seders. Because me, myself, in Israel, we had one Seder. We didn't have two.
Correct.
So, why do we have two Seders?
We have two Seder primarily. In Israel, they have one Seder.
Yeah.
So they, because we are in the diaspora,
Kutmaret, yeah,
and outside of Israel, we celebrate two Seders. We celebrate the fact that we are, obviously, if when Mashiach comes, when we are going to be in Israel, we will then have only one Seder. But because we live in the exile, we don't have that same, what's the right word, luxury,
yeah,
that they have in Israel, that they can just do one. We have to do two. Now, in Israel, they have the 8th day of Pesach. Israeli, it's a holiday still for us, it's the last day, but they really don't have that day because they don't have the second Seder.
Yeah.
So that's primarily the reason. Because we are outside in the diaspora in exile, we have two Seders, we don't have that luxury of just having the one Seder.
And I think it's the same with Rosh Hashanah and with Shavuot, right?
Rosh Hashanah,
I think,
and
it's
Shavuot.
The three regalim.
Correct, yes, we have two, they have one, correct.
Yeah. So the second Seder in the congregation Beth El is on Tuesday, April 19th at 6 p.m. And you have to RSVP no later than Wednesday, April the 13th. Good. So we are covered in our community. We have first Seder at Shaarei Shamayim. And the second Seder
at Beth El. So whoever doesn't have a Seder or who would like to experience the Seder that, you know, it's the community Seder and part of everyone, you have a choice.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you.
That's great. So I know that you are very involved with the students in the university. Are you going to be students in the Seder?
Because most of them go home. Correct. Well, even the fact that they're going home, a lot of the students, but even though some of them are here, there is obviously the exams that are going. A lot of them are finished right after Pesach. That's it. The university, most of the students are gone now for the summer.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do, we're actually doing one Seder and another Seder. What I mean to say that is that when we do our first Seder at the Shaarei Shamayim, we are doing simultaneously an express Seder specifically for students that don't have time to come and sit through the whole Seder, that they can come at least to do their mitzvot of having a four cups of wine, the masah, the maror, in 10 minutes later, eat it, and off they go back to studying. So we try and accommodate them also.
So if there is a student that is staying in Windsor and want to join the Seder, he should contact you, right?
Yeah, he can email me. They is always on Facebook, Jewish Student Center, or they can email me, which basically everyone does or has, windsorrabbi@gmail.com.
That's great.
Yep.
So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you for part one of the Passover.
Yep.
And we'll have you next week with part two. That would be right before the Seder.
Right, that's right. Looking forward.
Same here. So, thank you, Rabbi.
Be well, Ilan. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Talk to you next week. Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Be well.